The following program is brought to you in living color.
Ladies and gentlemen,
let the attack begin.
What are you doing here?
Testing for radioactivity.
Radioactivity? What is this radioactivity?
Warning. The program you're about to hear does not necessarily share the opinions and viewpoints of this radio station. Some of the material and interviews have been altered for entertainment purposes only. If you have any complaints about the Dorfon Sports Radio program, please contact our customer care service center at 1-800.
Yo, mama!
And now, the most eye-popping, jaw-dropping, smash-mouth, bone-crunching, heart-stopping, cutting-edge, interactive sports commentary show on the radio, Dorf on Sports. Now, here's your host, Andy Dorf.
Good morning to some of you. Good afternoon to others. Welcome. It is Dorf on Sports. You're hanging out on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Jeff Rich with me as he is each and every week. You can get involved 1-800-878-7529 or hit us up on Twitter at @ByJeffRich or at Dorf on Sports. And be sure to check us out here at Sports Byline USA. Man, oh man, there's a lot of things happening in the sports world. Little League World Series happening right before our eyes. And I say that first because that's the purest form of any sport you're going to see, if you ask me. At least in most cases. And then you got, obviously, Major League Baseball heating up. Great races there. The Toronto Blue Jays and the Yankees neck and neck. NFL football right around the corner. College football has already started. Jeff, I mean, honestly, this is seriously one of the best times of the year. A lot of things coming together. U.S. Open as well starting on Monday. So the sports just keep coming at us in a flurry, man.
Oh, they sure do, and they never cease to entertain us. You know, as a Cleveland fan, I never get many opportunities to have a joyous weekend, but the Cleveland Browns dominate the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I know it doesn't count. And Yan Gomes coming up with a big grand slam in the eighth inning off of former Indian Joe Smith. Great weekend to be a sports fan, and it'll be a great week, and we got a great couple months of NFL football and college football on the brink.
Absolutely. We got to take a quick pause for the cause. Jeff Rich, Dorfman, just getting started. A lot to talk about. Keep it close. It is Dorf on Sports, and this is the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.
If you want to stop moisture from coming into your home, think Ames. Apply Ames coatings to waterproof and protect roofs, basement walls, and decks. Ames adhesive high-strength elastomeric liquid rubber coatings are impenetrable. Extreme moisture protection. Look for the Ames Blue Max, Maximum Stretch, and Safety Deck brands at your local hardware store or see amesresearch.com. That's A-M-E-S research.com, amesresearch.com.
When you work out, you give it your all. At the gym or outdoors, it's intense, impactful, nonstop. You need a headphone that keeps up and won't fall out. With iSport, you get pure monster sound, a comfortable fit, washability, and control talk at your fingertips so you don't miss a call. Choose from a range of noise isolations with iSport Intensity, Victory, and Strive, or go wireless with iSport Freedom. Monster iSport, the athlete's headphone. Available at Target and Best Buy or online at monsterproducts.com.
Introducing Centrum Multigummies, a complete new gummy multivitamin bursting with natural fruit flavors and 100% or more of vitamins B12, D, and B. Support the most important parts of you with Centrum Multigummies and see gummies in a whole new light. New at Walmart for a low price every day.
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Are the cracks in your asphalt driveway starting to look like a roadmap? I'm Danny Lipford with tips for today's homeowner. Stay tuned and we'll talk about getting that drive back in shape right after this.
Mold on your siding, moss on your roof, mildew on your deck. The easiest way to get rid of it all is with Wet and Forget Outdoor. There's no scrubbing, no rinsing, and no pressure washing. Just spray and leave. Wet and Forget Outdoor is bleach-free and safe for virtually any outdoor surface. Siding, roofing, concrete, stone, stucco, even fabric. Just spray and you're done with Wet and Forget Outdoor. Get Wet and Forget Outdoor at the Home Depot or visit wetandforget.com for a store near you.
Asphalt is pretty rugged stuff, but as the years and each season passes, Mother Nature has a way of breaking it down. Sun oxidizes it, leaving it brittle and prone to cracks. Those cracks allow water under the surface, which will erode the drive's foundation or freeze and expand, making the cracks even worse. But if you fill those cracks with an asphalt repair caulk, as soon as you discover them, you can stop most of the damage before it stops. To prevent even more cracking, apply an asphalt sealer to the driveway to interrupt the oxidizing process. You'll need to clean the surface first and then watch the weather. Most of these sealers have to be applied above a specific temperature, so summer is the perfect time. This project is easy, relatively inexpensive, and a large squeegee is the only tool you'll need. I'm Danny Lippard with Tips for Today's Homeowner.
Alrighty. Welcome back. It is Dorf on Sports. You're hanging out on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. A lot going on in the sports world, to be honest with you. So many things happening, it's hard to keep up with them when you really think about it. But we try to keep you up to speed as much as we can and as best as possible. I want to talk to you, Jeff, a little bit about some of the craziness in college football. And you just brought up something about the situation there in Illinois. Tim Beckman gets fired 1 week before the season starts. And, you know, we've been talking about how it's so important to win and whatnot. Is this a case of a guy getting caught up in winning and not having the best interest out for his players or what?
I think it is. I think it's a guy Tim Beckman was trying to save his job, telling these guys you got to play through the pain and, you know, to do the things that in every other aspect that we're trying to discourage, we're trying to protect our young players, we're trying to protect our student athletes. And Tim Beckman, since he left the University of Toledo to go to Champaign-Urbana to coach the Fighting Illini, it hasn't been pleasant. I think this was an easy decision for the University of Illinois. They're going to save some money. I don't think that the results are going to fall off that much. Bill Kubit's going to take over. A lot of speculation about replacements. If you check out campuspressbox.com, I bet my buddy Seth Marenblum, you know, is speculating Georgia Southern's head coach, Willie Fritz, might be the guy in 2016, but it's going to be the interim guy in 2015. And Illinois has got a rough road ahead of them because the Big Ten is probably as good as it's been in a couple years.
No, absolutely. I mean, it's an unfortunate situation there in Illinois, but probably did the right thing, to be honest with you, after everything's said and done. Can't put your players in harm's way. The winning can't be more important than the individual itself. I'm sorry, but that just shows me that a guy got caught up in something there and obviously went down the wrong path, and the university decided to change it and get it in the right direction, or at least on the outside make it look like it's in the right direction. But another interesting situation, USC, Sarkisian with his whole ordeal, the medication, you know, speaking out. What do you make of that?
I make of it that Sarkisian made a mistake. You know, he's kind of on the fence whether he's got a problem with the alcohol or not. He'd like to think that he does not. I think that he's erring on the side of caution. He's going to make the right decision. But when you talk about a football program like the one that they have at the University of Southern California, that is the top football team in town. I know UCLA has made a run. I know there's talk of the Chargers, Raiders, and Rams all, you know, eventually landing in LA. But USC is the biggest show in town. Pete Carroll made it a big job. Steve Sarkisian's been a little bit underwhelming. He was underwhelming at the University of Washington, but they still, you know, Mike Garrett still brought him back down, or Pat Hayden still brought him back down to Troy, back home. And, you know, he embarrassed himself in front of the boosters. It'll be interesting to see the way that the players react to that, because that's your leader. That's your mentor. I mean, these are young kids. They look up to this guy, and I think he let them down.
if your head's coach isn't on straight, how do your players' heads stay on straight? You know, I mean, the two work hand in hand, don't they?
Yeah, at the end of the day, if the head coach, you know, I mean, you look at all these, you know, you look at coaches back in the day like Gary Moeller, up at Michigan. He was a good head coach, but they had to let him go because of an off-field incident like that. Larry Eustace at Iowa State, he had a great run back in the early part of the century with Mario Fizer, and they had to let him go. You can't put winning above appearances sometimes. And, you know, it looks like USC is going to let this slide, but Sarkisian can't have another incident like this.
Yeah, I'm almost surprised that they are letting it slide. I guess that's the next thing is, you know, why did they let this slide? You know, like we've said, this is a job that's very coveted. People want this job, right? I mean, if they have an issue, you would think that this would be a spot where this is a perfect opportunity for them to get out. Right or wrong?
Oh, this would be the time. But what's the alternative? I mean, Jack Del Rio would probably, you know, has always been a candidate when there's been a vacancy there at USC, and he's coaching the Oakland Raiders. You know, they had that mess with Lane Kiffin, and then Ed Orgeron takes over, and he's displeased that he's not going to be made the guy. And, you know, so they've, you know, since Pete Carroll went to Seattle, USC's been a little bit unstable with their head coach in the football program.
Absolutely. Hey, speaking of unstable, usually the Pac-12 a little bit unstable, but there's words and, you know, I'm hearing conversation that Arizona State could find themselves in a national title hunt. You like that? Yes or no? What do you think?
Oh, I love it. Yeah, as a Sun Devil myself, I'm looking forward to Arizona State being back in the conversation. It's been a long time since Jake the Snake led that team to the Rose Bowl and came within seconds of really winning a national championship. The things that Todd Graham has done at Arizona State, 10 wins for 3 consecutive years. He looks like he's got his quarterback in Mike Bercovici. You know, Kirk Herbstreit, one of the top analysts at ESPN. He loves Burko. He loves DJ Foster, who's converting from running back to wide receiver. They're solid on defense. They've got some tough games. They've got the non-conference schedule to do it. I mean, I know that they've got a couple of cupcakes in New Mexico and Cal Poly, but that opening game in Houston Saturday night against Texas A&M. Texas A&M played really well in their season opener a year ago against South Carolina. So both teams are going to be fired up for that game, and I think that's going to set the tone for both of those programs going into the 2015 season.
Yeah, true test for sure, obviously, for Todd Graham and the guys. And I've had the opportunity to meet DJ Foster. Nice kid, man. Really nice kid. Genuine, hard worker, little guy, to be honest with you. He's tiny, so I'm kind of wondering how he's going to do at the wide receiver spot. I mean, he's like I would say, you know, when you look at size comparison, again, I'm not talking about what they've accomplished because obviously he hasn't accomplished anywhere near what this guy has, but similar style to maybe Steve Smith is what I'm thinking for him as a wide receiver. What do you think?
The first thought I had was Percy Harvin, but you know, Steve Smith, if he's going to play primarily at receiver, that's not a bad comparison. I don't know that he's got the fire that Steve Smith has, and that's not a put down on DJ. That's just commenting on the remarkable play and intensity of Steve Smith throughout his career.
And I'm really basing it on size more than anything. And I'm talking about Steve Smith Sr., by the way, too. So let's not confuse him. But in general, I think that that's the type of receiver that he would be. But again, really nice kid. I mean, again, I've met him, talked to him for many, many of times in the locker room at the gym. I know how hard the kid works. I know how dedicated he is. So, really glad to see DJ Foster, a local product here in Arizona, a kid that went to Saguaro, a place where I coach at, not football, but just good to see those homegrown products having some success.
Oh, yeah, but they've got a tough climb in the Pac-12 South. I mean,
oh, yeah.
Travis Wilson back at Utah. I mean, I think that there are 5 teams that are going to go to bowl games in that South division there in the Pac-12. UCLA starting the very hyped true freshman Josh Rosen, Cody Kessler back at USC, Rich Rod and Anu Solomon doing their thing down there in Tucson. And don't forget what's going on up there in Boulder. That program has been in a lot of trouble. You know, just can't get out of their own way for a long time. Seifu Leifau, entering his junior year. I don't think Colorado is a gimme game either. So the Pac-12 is going to be very difficult. And I haven't even talked about Stanford and Oregon and, Oregon naming the Eastern Washington transfer Vernon Adams their starting quarterback. He's going to be in the Heisman race for sure.
Yeah, I mean, so are you predicting that the Pac-12 has a few players and maybe a couple of teams that could shock the country?
Yeah, the concern there is, and I know that Larry Scott's got to worry about this a little bit after, Oregon got to the national championship a year ago, is that, when you can only pick four and you got 125 to choose from, these teams are going to cannibalize each other, and it's going to be tough if everybody in the Pac-12 has two losses, as it's been predicted by many.
Yeah, no, that'll be interesting. Definitely, Pac-12 will be great. Competitive football. Arizona State has a shot, an outside shot, coming in at 15 in the country to make some noise and get themselves in a national title race. So we'll see how it unfolds and everything, but got to take a quick pause for the cause. Quick break. We'll be back on the other side. Jeff Rich, Dorfman, it's Dorf on Sports, and this is the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Attention catheter users. Stop reusing dirty catheters. Catheters are now disposable. Recent changes in Medicare now allow patients up to 200 disposable catheters a month, all at little or no cost to you. We bill Medicare. Put an end to the mess and risk of infection by using old catheters. Just use a catheter once and throw it away. Eliminate trips to the pharmacy and insurance paperwork. Shipping is free. Receive a free catheter sample by calling and joining Medical Direct Club right now.
Call 1-800-399-9018 to receive your free catheter sample discreetly delivered right to your door. That's 1-800-399-9018. 1-800-399-9018. Call 1-800-399-9018 today.
Deductibles and copays apply. Free catheter samples require qualified membership. Sample will arrive with 90-day order.
When you struggle with credit card bills every month, you're not just in debt. Debt is all around you.
I see people every day that are on the brink. They're going to go over the edge, and at the bottom is bankruptcy, and we pull them back.
At the Debt Helpline, we're experts at helping you resolve your debt problems and become free of debt. We can help you pay off your debt and give you one lower monthly payment that you can afford.
You do get to consolidate your payments. You only have to worry about making one payment a month instead of making three or four or five.
If you have $5,000, $10,000 or more in credit card bills, call the Debt Helpline now for a free confidential debt analysis.
800-957-6063. 800-957-6063. Call the CESI Debt Helpline right now for a free, confidential debt review. 800-957-6063. 800-957-6063.
This family is at home, but they won't be answering the door. They know that the pounding on the door is a process server from the court waiting to hand them foreclosure documents. So instead of enjoying the home they worked so hard to afford, they sit hiding in the dark.
Mom, what was that?
But it doesn't have to be this way. This family can save their home, but they must act fast. Call Allied State Foreclosure Solutions at 800-274-7312. If you're being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, missed a payment on your mortgage, been a victim of a predatory loan, or are upside down on your home, it's critical that you call Allied State Foreclosure Solutions now. 800-274-7312. Allied State Foreclosure Solutions has an attorney in your area that will meet and speak with you. You can stop the foreclosure process, lower your monthly mortgage payments, save your home and your credit, but you must act now. Call 800-274-7312. 800-274-7312.
Not available in all states. Paid non-attorney spokesperson.
All aboard!
All right. Alrighty, everybody, welcome back. A little Ozzy for you there. Dorf on Sports, Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Jeff Rich along with me as well. You can get involved, 1-800-878-7529. Those are our digits. Hit us up on Twitter at ByJeffRich or at Dorf on Sports. And then check us out here at Sports Byline USA. Jeff, have you checked out any of this Little League World Series just out of curiosity?
I've been following along. You know, it's tough when you don't have a dog in the fight. I remember the Chandler Little League, coached by Clay Bellinger, who used to play for the New York Yankees, had a team a couple years ago, and all the sports bars had them on. They were wearing Arizona State colors. It was just a sight to see. I've got a friend in San Diego who got behind the Chula Vista team a couple of years ago. So those people in Pennsylvania got to be pretty excited, as well as across the pond over there. Well, I don't know if you call Japan across the pond, but across the Pacific Ocean anyway. I bet that it means a lot over there in that part of the world to come into the United States, to go into Williamsport in a great environment and to show what you got, because, you know, the Americans tend to dominate, you know, these major sports that we have in the United States, everything other than soccer. And to see these 11 and 12 year olds put on a show, it's just a sight to see. I love it.
You know, and the truth of the matter is there, everything about this is professional, except the fact that it's not professional. I mean, does that make any sense to you? These guys are out there playing the game just like you would watch the pros play. Obviously, it's on a much smaller playing field. The fields are smaller. The guys are smaller. It's all relative. But it's a very professional like atmosphere, and you know what, the coverage I think is phenomenal. The field looks great. You know what I'm saying? I think it's a very good production all around. They've really made this Little League World Series something to watch.
Yeah, and that might be the downside of it, to be honest with you, when you talk about how professional it is, because you are putting these 11 and 12-year-olds under a lot of pressure. But you know what you don't see, and you brought this up in the first hour, with the fights in the NFL preseason, you don't see these kids scrapping. You see great sportsmanship across the board. You don't see the bat flips. You don't see the pitchers trying to shove the batters up. It's just, you know, these kids are playing for the love of the game. I know there's a lot of pressure on them, like I said, but at the end of the day, You get something out of the Little League show that you don't get out of Major League Baseball.
That's very true, man. I never even really thought about it like that, because the truth is, you know, you think about it, these guys have role models and guys that they admire and whatnot and want to be like, and they always say, who's your favorite player, you know, when they're talking to these kids, they show it all. And you know what? The truth of the matter is they've been taught pretty well by their coaches. You know, they may have favorite players and they may have role models and they may want to play like a certain player, but it seems like these kids have been brought up right, to be honest with you. You don't see, like you said, you don't see the fighting. You don't see the nonsense that doesn't need to be there. These guys just go out there and they play a game that they truly love. And you know what? Maybe one day these guys will be major leaguers. You never know. Some of these kids for sure will definitely be in the major leagues, because there's definitely been some that are in the major leagues now that played in this game. So, or this tournament, if you will. But I think it's awesome, man. A lot of people get out there to watch it. I think that there's, 40,000 plus out there to watch these games. And like you said, it's such a great experience. You have kids coming from all over the world together to play a game. I mean, does it get any cooler than that when you really think about it? People from all over the world coming together to play a childhood dream. It's pretty awesome.
And there's a lot of camaraderie because they stay in dorms. It's like, you know, it's almost like a college experience for these kids. And I like seeing the favorite player thing, because you've got a bunch of children that were born in 2003, 2002, and it's interesting to see who they look up to. What I've noticed over the course of time is the younger players in Major League Baseball. A guy like Chris Bryant is the favorite player of so many little leaguers these days. And you know, and it's important that he's having a good run with the Cubs. And you know, even though the Cubs have kind of slumped on the West Coast, I really enjoy that, you know, the children enjoying Major League Baseball, because we keep hearing about how Little League is dying and how baseball is dying in this country, and everything that's going on in Williamsport supports everything to the contrary of that.
Yeah, I don't think it's dying at all. I mean, I think it's when you get to this level, you're pretty darn good. Let's be honest. If you make it to the Little League World Series, you've got some talent. Again, I don't know if that translates into you being a professional athlete at some time, but it's something that not every kid can say that they've done. We've all played Little League, but we didn't play Little League on this level. So I think there's something to be said about that. And look, when you're being showcased on national TV, it's a pretty big deal, Jeff.
Oh, it is a big deal, and there's plenty of guys. Sean Burroughs was a Little League hero. Chris Drury was back in, I want to say, like 91, 92, played for a team in Connecticut, and then he ends up going to the University of Maine and playing in the NHL. Carney Lansford, there's a great story about Carney Lansford who ends up, you know, who broke his wrist right before the championship game. And, you know, tragically, the California team he played for lost, in the sixth inning, which is the final inning of Little League play. So there's plenty of names. I can't think of them all off the top of my head, but these guys do go on to play Major League Baseball. And it's, you know, it starts when you're 11 and 12 years old, when you're trying, you know, when you're pitching from 46 feet away and the base paths are only 60 feet.
Well, but not only that, I think it's the discipline, it's the drive, the desire to want to be the best and, you know what, have a dream of making it to the professional ranks. And you know what, this is where it starts. Like you said, you start at this level and this is where you get that belief and you get that trust and that know-how that you can really actually obtain something. And you know what, it's a dream for all of us at some point, or at least myself. I definitely dreamed of being a professional athlete, and you know what, wasn't in the cards for me. But at the same time, you know what, I do talk about sports, and I've learned to appreciate them in a much different way. And I've played levels, tennis at a very high level, basketball. I've done a lot of things at a pretty high level. Never got to the professional ranks, but truly enjoy talking about sports. And again, like you said, some of these kids are going to be future major leaguers, and it's pretty cool to get to see them when they're 11, 12 at a very pure state in their life when they're truly playing for the love of the game. It has nothing to do with money. It has nothing to do with fame, but it just has to go out there to do with them having the time of their life, to be honest with you, and literally living out a childhood dream of theirs.
Yeah, and I think that we focus on our own here in the United States, but there's certainly an international awareness to be had. I'm not over there. I have lived in Japan at one point in my life, but you look at guys like Ichiro and Hideo Nomo, and you know, these kids look up to those guys, especially coming from the other country where you might only have three or four players from your country in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, real quickly, we've only got a couple minutes left in this segment. I wasn't really thinking we were going to spend that much time on Little League World Series, but in general, in truth be told, I love talking about it because I sit here and I watch it, and I find it to be pretty awesome spectacle when you have 40,000 people watching 11, 12-year-old kids. It's a pretty special moment. But give me some teams in college football that we should be looking out for that might shock some people, because I know you're huge on college football.
Well, I think that Oklahoma might surprise. Everybody's going to say that Oklahoma and Texas are down in the Big 12 and that TCU is going to run away with it. And congratulations to TCU, at least going into the season. I think that they proved a lot in the previous season about who they are and that they're not a mid-major type of team anymore and that they are a big boy. Boykin's going to be a Heisman candidate, or he is a Heisman candidate at this point. So I think that if anybody can knock off TCU in the Big 12, look out for them. Georgia Tech and Clemson might unseat or should probably unseat Jimbo Fisher's Florida State squad in the ACC. And Boise State. Boise State's got another great chance to go undefeated. Get in as that group of five and maybe even qualify for the top four. I think that in year two of the playoff, we have a little bit of an idea of what to expect from week to week, the way that the playoff committee evaluates these teams. And and in the Big Ten, Penn State, look out for Penn State. I don't think anybody's going to be able to knock off Ohio State, but Ohio State's got a, nothing's easy. Nothing's easy. They're going to play without Joey Bosa. They lost Noah Brown this week. So Ohio State's taking their lumps. To see, to see them as a unanimous number one team with the quarterback situation unclear, with all kinds of players suspended, for the game against the team that they lost to a year ago. I just can't wait for the season to start. That Ohio State-Virginia Tech game on Labor Day should be quite the showcase. And I mentioned before, Texas A&M, Arizona State in Houston. It's going to set the tone for the season for both programs.
No, I agree. And it's interesting that you mentioned Penn State, because I was going to ask you a little bit about Penn State. If you thought, you know, if everything that they've had happen to them in recent years is pretty much behind them now, and that they can just kind of focus on football.
I would hope so. I would hope so. James Franklin, you know, he didn't have to do the job that Bill O'Brien did, but did good things at Vanderbilt. He's got an NFL quarterback in Christian Hackenberg, and, you know, Penn State's got some good football tradition there. Look out for them.
Absolutely. And you didn't mention my Badgers, but I think they'll be okay. I think they're somewhat on the decline to a certain degree, but hopefully they can get things going again there. But anyways, got to take a quick pause for the cause. We'll be back with John Poulter, our professor of sports, to break down some Major League Baseball. So keep it close. It's Dorf on Sports, and this is the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.
If you want to stop moisture from coming into your home, think Ames. Apply Ames coatings to waterproof and protect roofs, basement walls, and decks. Ames adhesive high-strength elastomeric liquid rubber coatings are impenetrable. Extreme moisture protection. Look for the Ames Blue Max, Maximum Stretch, and Safety Deck brands at your local hardware store, or see amesresearch.com. That's A-M-E-S research.com, amesresearch.com.
When you work out, you give it your all. At the gym or outdoors, it's intense, impactful, nonstop. You need a headphone that keeps up and won't fall out. With iSport, you get pure monster sound, a comfortable fit, washability, and control talk at your fingertips, so you don't miss a call. Choose from a range of noise isolations with iSport Intensity, Victory, and Strive, or go wireless with iSport Freedom. Monster iSport, the athlete's headphone. Available at Target and Best Buy or online at monsterproducts.com.
Not all waters are created equal. Alchemy Water has been specially treated with a patented system to create a premium alkaline water that tastes great and offers more benefits than natural water. Alchemy is ionized and microclustered for antioxidant protection while neutralizing free radicals. Plus, it's fluoride-free and eco-friendly. All of these things add up to the ultimate health and wellness premium water. Available at select retailers and online through Amazon at alchemywater.com. That's A-L-K-A-M-E water.com.
Is the siding on your home starting to show signs of wear and tear? I'm Danny Lipford with tips for today's homeowner. Stay tuned and we'll talk about solving this problem for good right after this. Old, ugly, or damaged bathtubs and sinks don't have to be ripped out and replaced. Save money and give new life to bathroom fixtures with Homax Toughest Tile Spray-On Epoxy Finish. Preparation is the key, so follow the directions carefully and don't cut any corners. With Homax Toughest Tile, you can refinish your bathtub or sink yourself and get great results without hiring a professional. Homax, creating better homes. The hardboard siding that was commonly used on homes 20 to 30 years ago is very prone to water damage, so replacing it is a very common chore. The first step is removing the rotten siding with a flat bar. Often you only need to replace a few bottom courses because these are the boards that get the most water damage from rainwater splashing up from the ground. Driving nails all the way through the last good row with a nail set will free up the damaged row beneath it so that you can remove it. I always recommend fiber cement material to replace hardboard siding because it's easy to find in matching sizes and textures, and since it's made mostly of cement, it won't ever rot or decay like the hardboard. You just nail it up so that the courses match the rest of the siding, and before long, you're ready to paint. I'm Danny Lipford with tips for today's homeowner.
Alrighty, everybody, welcome back. A little Bryan Adams for you there. And in case John Poulter doesn't realize what we do each time he comes on, we pretty much try to find a Canadian musician for you, John, if you haven't figured it out.
I have figured that out, and I think that's very subtle the way that you've done it.
Well, I can't take all the credit, I gotta be honest with you.
Yep. Scott's got a part in that too, right?
Well, Scott has the major part in it, to be honest with you. He just alerts me as to what he's doing. But
when I think about it, he does it all the time, and it's a pretty good idea when you think about it. And we always try to bring in a John Poulter, our professor of sports, who comes to us all the way from Canada with some sort of a Canadian musician or something along those lines. It could be just somebody saying something, or it could be a song. But we usually try to take into consideration where you're coming from, John.
Yeah, I kind of, when I hear that, and take me out to the ball game and in the hockey season when you play the hockey song and anything from a Canadian artist, I always kind of treat that as my walk-up music, which the major league players would have. So just kind of my link to the sports world.
There you go. I mean, I never really thought of it, but that's how we bring you on, and that's kind of that's your thing. I agree with you. But hey, speaking of your thing, and baseball is it. We love talking to you about it. We broke down the American League early, and Jeff had a couple of thoughts on his mind before we had to get out of there, but we didn't have time to get to it. So Jeff, go ahead, throw those things at John.
Well, John, obviously the story of the American League West would be the Houston Astros this season. Texas is making a little bit of a run, but I want to ask you a little bit about the bottom of the division. Seattle makes a change. Oakland, an extremely disappointing season. And the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim have gone a long way with Mike Socha. But are Bob Melvin and Mike Socha perhaps at the end of the line there in the American League West?
Yeah, it's funny that you bring that up, because in my notes for preparing today's show, I kind of wanted to talk about that a little bit if we had a chance for some open discussion, because, Jack Zarenczyk fired in Seattle after 7 years and a lot of bold moves this year that everybody thought was going to put the Mariners on the map. And I think if we roll back the tapes to April, I think my comment was that I felt at that time that the Mariners were the best team in the American League, and certainly they're a long ways from that. They're not even the most promising team in their division. And the Angels, maybe they're getting a little stale. I thought when DePoto left, and whether he was pushed or whether he walked, we don't really know for sure. I felt that that was an indication that Socha had won a power struggle there. But I look at that record now, and I wonder just how safe he is. And in terms of Oakland, Bob Melvin is one of the other guys that's on my list in terms of potential managers in danger, simply because you have to believe that Billy Beane is strong enough and secure enough in his position that he won't be the guy taking the fall for that season, even though he was the guy that made a lot of the deals for them. So somebody pays the price there. My guess would be that Melvin would pay before Beane does, but again, you never know exactly how the ownership is going to react to those kinds of situations. Those kinds of things are not made public, but lots of managers in trouble in my mind. And the other thing that I've noticed is that there's been 11 changes at the GM level in Major League Baseball since 2014. That seems like an awful lot, and there's two or three more that may be looming, and I'm thinking Cincinnati, Philadelphia, Washington, and your Cleveland Indians. To me, they're all teams that sort of underperformed this year, might be looking to make changes. Is this a sign of the changing of the times, in that we always used to think the manager was the first guy to take the fall? Are we now at the point where the general manager is even more so on the hot seat than the field manager is in terms of baseball teams?
Well, I feel like the front office people tend to be the scapegoats, but in reality, look at Cleveland's pitching staff, look at the Seattle Mariners roster. They're both underperforming. Their record doesn't match their talent level, and I think that might be a reflection of Lloyd McClendon in Seattle, and it could be a reflection of Terry Francona there in Cleveland, though Cleveland's been playing better since calling up Francisco Lindor, making some trades, dropping Nick Swisher and Michael Bourne from the roster. But I really think McClendon should also be out in Seattle. Do you tend to agree with that?
Well, I think that's the way it's going to shake out. But if we go back 12 months, we'd say that Francona and McClendon did very good jobs with what they were given. So, is it the manager? Is it the front office? Is it the players? Maybe it's a combination of all three. But at the end of the day, it's usually the manager that pays the freight when we see those kinds of situations, because the general manager is the guy that hires the manager, and the owner will probably say there's no point in two guys getting fired. So, Mr. GM, make your decision as to who goes.
You know what, though? At the end of the day, let's be honest, players make plays, and managers hopefully put them in a good position to make those plays. But look, There's no science to this, because if there was, we would have said that the Astros were going to be leading the division coming into September. So my point is that baseball's a weird game. They're all weird games in a sense. Injuries play a factor. That's part of the game. You know, if your bats go cold, that's a part of the game. Pitching's a huge part of the game. There's so many aspects to this to make things work that it's almost unfair to put the blame on one individual or two individuals. At the end of the day, those players go out there and they make plays or they don't make plays. And yeah, should the GM and the managers put them in the positions to do it? Sure. But there's no formula for it, man. It just certain things happen at certain times, and it is what it is. So to put blame on any one particular person, I think is difficult. I think you're right, John. I think it's a culmination. It's all three of those things not working well together. And at the end of the day, if it works, you look like a genius. If it doesn't work, then we're always talking about who we're going to fire.
Yeah, exactly. And of course, it comes down to the old adage that you can't fire 25 guys, i.e. the players, so you have to fire somebody else. It's the same in any sport. We see it in the NFL. We see it in the NBA. We certainly see it in the NHL, where head coaching positions seem to turn over almost on a monthly basis in recent years. Anyway, you can't fire a whole roster. You've got all these guys that are now in long-term contracts, no movement, no trade. You got to do something to shake it up, and the manager's the meat in the sandwich, unfortunately.
Absolutely. Hey, let's move on to the National League. And I went on my Facebook page this week, and I said that I find it really difficult for anybody to beat the St. Louis Cardinals because they're just so good. After watching them dismantle the Arizona Diamondbacks time in and time again and game after game as they were here. But then I thought about something, and I thought about how well the Mets are playing and their pitching staff and how good they've been. If there is one team that maybe could give the Cardinals a problem, I do think it is the Mets. But should we be punching the Cardinals' ticket for the World Series, yes or no?
I'm not sure you can punch the ticket for the World Series. You can certainly punch the ticket for the postseason. I don't disagree with you in terms of in a short series with the pitching they have, the Mets could give them an awfully good run for their money. I think longer term, over any kind of a lengthy period, I think the Pirates probably are a better team than the Mets, and there's still six games between the Pirates and the Cardinals between now and the end of the season. So the Mets are playing well, but I think the Cardinals are in that situation where we talked in the last hour about how does Kansas City handle the potential complacency given that they're so far ahead for the last 4 or 5 weeks of the season. I think what's going to really help the Cardinals is that they've got the Pirates right on their heels, and they're gunning for them. So I think that's going to keep St. Louis fresh. But the thing that's always amazed me about St. Louis is every time somebody on the Major League roster gets hurt, there seems to be a guy coming up from AAA or AA that's almost as good, and he just fits right in there. Like this guy, Piscotty, is probably the best example, or the most recent example.
Mm-hmm.
He's come up, and he's playing like a major leaguer, and at the start of the year, he wasn't even expected to make the team. So does this tell us something about management in St. Louis and the depth, or you know, does this tell us a little bit about Mike Matheny as a manager? The same situation as when we were talking about the firings a few minutes ago. It's probably a combination of a whole bunch of things.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. Go ahead, Jeff.
How about the culture change in New York? Obviously, their selling point is their rotation. But since trading for Yenis Cespedes, they've really taken off. They're scoring. You know, I look at the ticker, and the Mets are scoring 14, 15 runs a night. I mean, I don't know that it's like Sutcliffe in '84 with the Cubs, or Sabathia going to the Brewers in '08, or perhaps somebody that didn't get traded from the Indians. But Yenis Cespedes, you know, even Wilmer Flores after the non-trade. I mean, I'll be honest with you, I'd never heard of Wilmer Flores until I heard that he cried about being traded. And then he takes off. You know, has there been just a renaissance in New York with the bats since bringing in the slugger from the Detroit Tigers?
Yeah, very much so. That's something we've chatted about before. in terms of the, we've always talked about the Mets having that great young pitching staff, the five young guys plus the veteran Colon. And, you know, the one problem they had was they couldn't score any runs. And all of a sudden, in the first 15 or 16 games after they got Cespedes, they scored almost 100 runs. And, you know, anytime you can put five or six runs up on the board every night, you got a, with a good pitching staff, you got a pretty good chance of winning. So I'm not saying that Cespedes was the only guy that has been producing, but I think he's, as well as playing well, I think he's made everybody else play a little bit better, given everybody else a little bit of protection. And, of course, this week they got David Wright back, and that's like getting an all-star at the trading deadline without having to give anybody up. Plus, he's fresh. So
yeah,
I think the Mets have got a they've got a real good chance to win that division. I mean, we're talking about disappointments in the American League. Is there anybody that's a bigger disappointment in baseball other than the Washington Nationals? I mean, I just do not understand how a team with that kind of talent is playing as badly as they are. And you look at a guy like Scherzer, who hasn't won a ball game this month. He's 0-4. And if you look at his stats over his first 14 starts, he's 8-5 with a 1.6 ERA, and his opponent's batting average is 181. And in his last 12, he's 3-6, 4.4, and 247. So, you know, when your top player is your top pitcher is performing that badly, it's not a surprise that you're going to run below the radar in terms of your own results.
Yeah, no, great stuff as always, John. Real quickly, I want you to touch on what happened there in Atlanta. Sad, obviously.
Yeah, very sad. I watched a little bit of the Braves-Yankees game last night and then shut it off when it was dinner time. So good or bad, I didn't get a chance to see what happened. So all I know is what I've read on the MLB Network this morning, or seen on the MLB Network this morning and read on MLB.com this morning. And I understand it was a gentleman in his 60s. Name has not yet been released, pending notification of next of kin. Don't really know whether he was ill or leaned out too far, was being, you know, trying to be part of the game when he shouldn't have been. I did see that the Atlanta Police Department has indicated they do not suspect any kind of foul play, which is good news, but always sad when you see somebody passing away at a sporting event. And to Jeff's point earlier, when you buy a ticket to a major league ball game, you expect to be going home at the end of the game.
Absolutely. John, great stuff as always. Appreciate you taking time out with us for both these hours today, and look forward to chatting with you next week, man.
Yeah, my pleasure as always, and have a good week, guys, and I look forward to chatting next week.
Great stuff from John Poulter, professor of sports, breaking down Major League Baseball, American League, National League issues. We got you covered in every way, shape, or form. So keep it close. One more segment left here, and he said something interesting that I'm going to bring out in the next couple of minutes with you, Jeff, and let's try to dissect it as best we can before we get out of here. Anyways, quick pause for the cause. It's Dorf on Sports, and this is the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.
Protective Insurance Specialist is a referral service that connects you to a licensed agent. Availability, waiting periods, and limitations vary by state. Not major medical. Certain plans require association membership.
After my husband passed away, we couldn't pay the mortgage, make car payments, or pay bills. Sometimes even having enough food was a problem. All of a sudden, our financial security, gone.
You've made plans for the future. College for the kids. Retirement. Have you thought of the unexpected curves life can throw at you? Ask yourself, what if? Wait till something happens to your family, or make sure you're ready with coverage by calling Protectum Insurance Specialists. Get term life insurance, accident insurance, critical illness insurance, all in one. Just minutes on the phone. No medical exams, no health questions, and guaranteed acceptance. It's coverage you don't get from your health insurance. Call for a free quote. 800-473-0563. Get cash fast directly to you when you need it and use it for whatever you want. Call toll free. 800-473-0563. 800-473-0563.
Today, more than ever, Americans need a means to protect their life savings. With a troubled economy and government spending out of control, they've been forced to promote loose money policies, which decreases the value of the dollar and promotes inflation. Birch Gold Group can help you protect your savings by rolling over all or a portion of your IRA or 401k into an IRA backed by physical gold. Take advantage of the best gold prices in years and enjoy the long-term hedge against inflation that gold provides by moving into a gold IRA from Birch Gold Group, the precious metal IRA specialists. Call Birch Gold Group today for a free consultation on how a tax-free rollover to a gold IRA can offer stability, protection, and the peace of mind that your life savings, which you've worked so hard to build, is safe. Call 888-221-0010 and receive Birch Gold's free information kit, which offers the best-kept secrets for safeguarding your savings with gold. Call 888-221-0010. That's 888-221-0010.
Are you struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help, and your insurance may offer coverage.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help.
I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-521-3214, 800-521-3214.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven, gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-521-3214. 800-521-3214.
All righty, everybody. Welcome back. Final segment here on this hour of Dorf on Sports. And a quick reminder, live every Sunday, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific time. And we rebroadcast Monday, 9 a.m. Pacific time. So you can always check us back out on a Monday. We're here for your listening pleasure. Live Sundays, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific time. Jeff, I want to leave you with this because John said something that was kind of interesting to me, and we've only really looked at it from the one direction where a team is playing with such a big lead like the Kansas City Royals, and they can kind of coast through the last few weeks or month or whatever of the season, whereas the St. Louis Cardinals are in a dogfight with Pittsburgh. Okay, let's face it, 3.5-game lead. They got to go neck and neck. Could that wear them out versus the other side of it where Kansas City could be getting too much rest? Could the constant battle wear these guys out?
I worry more about the complacency than the fatigue factor. You know, this is a long season. We're at the end of the marathon. You know you have to be playing your best baseball in late September, early, well, if you can get to October. So I think it's more, you know, I'd worry more about being complacent. I think the teams that have to scratch and claw their way back into it are the ones you have to worry about in the postseason.
Well, I mean, look, again, if you have to go and you don't get that rest, maybe, you know, a little bit more rest would be important, you know, at the end of the season versus the beginning of the season. And the Cardinals and the Pirates are going to sit there and battle it out for first place when they have to kind of go at it with those guns, whereas Kansas City doesn't have to. It's an interesting school of thought either way, you know, whether you say that the Royals are coasting in versus the Cardinals who are battling it out the whole way. I don't know, man. Like I said, there's no right or wrong. Nothing makes sense when you think about it. It's just a game. You go out there and you play it. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. Yes or no?
Yes, and I think that St. Louis has a lot more to lose. If Pittsburgh doesn't get there, I think they're going to be fine in the wild card. But if St. Louis doesn't win this division after the lead they had, they're in trouble.
All right. Well, hear that music. Means we got to get the heck out of Dodge. So for Jeff Rich, for John Poulter, for Scott, I'm the Dorf Man saying peace. Watch a lot of sports. Get the U.S. Open in. It's starting this week. Enjoy it. And we'll be back to talk to you next Sunday on Dorf on Sports and the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.
Maybe do it again sometime.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Dorf on Sports with Andy Dorf. Till next time.